what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo. This is episode el numero uno...
Number 17.
So it's good to have you with us. We are so thankful that you're joining us in the Ministry Zoo today. I'm sitting beside my stunning colleague, Jess Estep. It's so good to see you. This is 2 weeks in a row after a good little hiatus. It's good to be seeing you back to back and you in between at Songs of Summer, things like that. So it's good to see you, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, and a new adjective to describe me stunning, today, yes. Stunning. Yeah. So I don't know where all that is going. I don't know where that's leading, but I'll take it. You know, I'll take it because nobody really says these things.
You know,
about
you
me.
Can so. You can do a Google image generator. So I put your image in, and then it generates a word to go alongside.
Okay.
It.
Well, I'm if these are the words that are popping up, I'm shocked. But it's good to be back, and it is good to be back and consistent.
Yes.
And
feels a little bit more regular
with the episodes.
Yep.
And so we're excited. We say that a lot. I feel like we start every episode talking about how excited we are, but
yeah.
We just love it. We love what we're doing here, and we love the feedback. When we get feedback, it energizes us. And so let me just start off today by saying, give us some feedback, give us some suggestions, gentle criticisms. If you have those, just make them gentle. But if you have an idea for an episode or two or three, shoot them our way. We're always talking about what we're going to do next. And so those suggestions help. And just glad to be here again today. Wes, why don't you tell the listening audience a little bit about what we're doing today?
Yeah, so we're trying to do something new with the Ministry Zoo. Well, it's not really new. It's new to us. But today we're live. We're on Facebook Live today. And hopefully within the next week or so, we're going to be set up where we can go Periscope as well. So if you want to watch us live, we would love to have you join us in the zoo as it happens. You'll see that it's not a very scripted thing. We very much just try to vibe off of each other, try to get some good vibes going, and we just kind of talk from our heart. You know, it's nothing that we're just, you know, we do have some talking points, but, you know, sometimes we just get on a roll and we kind of get going.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we just love the Lord. So sometimes we just go off of what's happening in our lives, what's happening in our ministry, and how we're trying to glorify God through that and hopefully encourage you as well. So we want to let you know that we're on Facebook Live now, and hopefully in the weeks going forward, and we'll be able to join in the Periscope world here in the next week or two as well. So you can find us not only on the podcast app, which Jess will go through all that, which he does a great job every week going through where you can find us and how you can get in touch with us. But those are two new avenues where you'll be able to find us very soon. You'll be able to find us on Facebook Live and on Periscope. So be joining us there. Be making plans to join us there. We'll be putting it out on our personal Facebook pages and Twitter pages, as well as the show pages. Mm-hmm. When we're going to be going live, things like that. So be looking for that. Be joining us. We look forward to you being in the show with us. And it also gives us an opportunity to kind of see some of the things that you're saying, some of the feedback that we're getting, so we can actually see that while it's happening. So that would help us out a lot. But anyway, this is the opportunity where we talk about what's been going on with each other for the week. So, Jess, I know you had a couple of trips, maybe one to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Jess is a big Braves fan, as we have discussed at nauseam for a Cubs fan. But anyway, how was the trip to Atlanta?
Well, it was good. And let me go ahead and say from the start, because talking about being fans of teams and things, let me just start off by saying, if you're not an Alabama fan, we do not always wear Alabama attire during the show. When Wes walked up, I was like, oh, we kind of matched today. If you can sit through it, if you're an Auburn fan or Tennessee fan, or if you hate Alabama, just sit through it. We don't really talk about Alabama football on the show if you haven't listened to the show before. So just hang in there. You can maybe put your hand over the phone.
Yeah.
We had a great trip to Atlanta this past week. We went on Thursday and Friday. We went down and spent the night, went to a Braves game on Thursday night. The game didn't turn out the way that we would have liked to. We were playing the Phillies, and they beat up on us in the first inning, and we just never really could come back from that. They tried and just couldn't do it. We had a really good time, though. And then the next day on Friday, we went to Six Flags and enjoyed a nice hot day at Six Flags, which it always is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've done some things. They've made some improvements. They've redone some rides and they've beefed up the kids area. So my son Brennan, who is five, he really enjoyed that. And it's all superheroes now. They've still got some of the old Looney Tunes things, but all of those rides used to be Looney Tunes based, and now they're DC comic superhero stuff. And then they took I believe they took down the Ninja, that ride. I don't know if you ever rode the Ninja. It probably broke your neck if you rode it.
I was about to say, I think I cramped.
Yeah, but they've taken that down, I think, and replaced it with a ride called the Blue Hawk. And it's a military-themed ride, and so it's a great way to honor those who have served. And so we had a really good time, and that trip is always just always a lot of fun. We always take, you know, it's not a huge group. We usually take around 20, 25 or something like that. I think we had about 22 this time. So
it's awesome.
It's a small enough group. You can, you know, you can talk to everybody, and it's a fun group on the bus. So anyway, we had that. And then actually last night we had something at Killen that was really, really impactful and powerful, I thought. We had an addiction awareness seminar. It wasn't a Bible class, really. It was a seminar, and it was called My Story. And so one of our elders, Ross Hargett, he works real close with some addiction recovery programs, mostly right now with the New Beginnings out of Florence. And there are about 40 or 45 women who live, I don't know if they all live there at the New Beginnings house that they have, but they're all part of this program, and they have Bible lessons during the week. They have other parenting classes and things like that. And he and his wife Eva have really been a part of that in a real strong way. He goes in and teaches a couple of Bible classes each week. And so he had set this up where instead of coming for Bible class at 7 o'clock, it started at 6 o'clock, and had them. He started with a few scriptures just to kind of kick it off. But then they just went around and kind of told their story of how they, you know, a little bit of their background life story, but how they got into the addiction that they got into and what led up to that. But all of them had all the ones that spoke, all 40 didn't speak, but the ones that spoke had a redemptive story at the end, and it turned out really good, and they have all you know, giving their lives to God and relied on God. And so that's what's getting them through now. Yeah. And that was very powerful. It lasted about 2.5 hours, went over about half an hour.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, sitting down and listening to somebody's story that has gone through things like rape and abuse and abandonment, mm-hmm. and that they turned their life to a bottle or to drugs and things like that, and then to come out of that and to say, I know now that the only thing that can get me through is God, is an incredible thing. And to hear those stories was very powerful. And so I thought it was a great night. We did live stream that on my personal page. If you want to go to my page and watch those videos, they're a little bit long. They're about an hour and 15 minutes each. But we've had over 1,000 views, I think, so far over the two different videos. And so that just tells me that addiction hits home with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I would say almost, if not all, families have been affected by that in some way, if not, you know, in their personal immediate family, somewhere down the line in their family, they've been hit by addiction. And so that was a really great night, and I think that there's going to be some lasting effects in a positive way.
Yeah. I wish I had known that was happening. That would have been good for some of our young people to be involved with that. I hate that we missed that, but we could definitely get it off your page, like you said.
Right.
For us, you know, we talk some about some of the area-wide things that we have going on for our youth groups and things like that, and we concluded Songs of Summer this week, this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that we do every Sunday during the summer. And just kids from all over the area come in. They go to the Christian Student Center there on the campus of the University of North Alabama. And we just sing for about an hour. And different youth ministers from the area, different preachers plug in, and they lead singing for that hour. And then we have one big finale where everybody comes in. There's two sessions every Sunday because, mm-hmm. You know, some congregations meet at 5, so they can be there at 7:30, you know, or and different congregations can't make it there because they meet at 6, so they have a further way to travel and less time, so they have two sessions. Well, we have one big blowout finale session to end the summer, and so we went to Sherrod Avenue, and one of the things that we do during that time period is we collect jars of peanut butter for Haiti, mm-hmm. for malnourished children and women who might be pregnant, who, you know, that serves as like their prenatal vitamin, things like that. So over the summer, the teenagers and the youth groups around the Northwest Shoals area, the north, you know, the north part of Alabama here, they collected 10,943 jars of peanut butter.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, to go to Haiti. And Harry and his group there with the Healing Hands, they're going to get that to those people who are there that need that. There are doctors there that actually prescribe the peanut butter. So, and it's, I think it's like a teaspoon or a tablespoon, mm-hmm. a day,
once
or is it
a week?
It's a week.
Once
so,
a week.
You know, just pretty incredible the impact that the young people here in our area had on that, that effort. And, you know, it gives me great joy as a youth minister and as somebody who, you know, gets to see it from this side of the table now, to see young people and to see congregations just rallying around an effort for people that they don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing something good for an area that's very underfunded, you know, people that need help. And we just forget sometimes how blessed we really are to be where we're at, to live in the country that we live in, and to have the freedoms that we have, and to be able to do the things that we do. We just forget that. And mm-hmm. when you think about something as simple as a tablespoon of peanut butter a week gives the nutrition to a child that they need, it's just, I mean, you know, Chapel and I bought peanut butter last night at the grocery store, and I didn't mm-hmm. think nothing about it. Just
right.
grabbed it off the shelf and threw it in the, and, you know, I'll make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch when I go mm-hmm. home. And, you know, we just don't think about things like that. And there are people who need that. So to see that effort and to see that truck just full of peanut butter, just a great thing. So I applaud Josh Webster and the
right.
Christian Student Center and Harry and his group there at Healing Hands, just doing a phenomenal work. And you know, that's just what it's just been on my mind the last few days of how awesome that effort really is and how cool it is mm-hmm. to be a part of that. So thank you to everyone who plugged in, who made an effort to be a part of that and helped out with that. It just it's really amazing to watch what people can do when they rally behind an effort. So just been an uplifting and encouraging
yep.
Day, night there. It was Chapel and I, it was our anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been married 6 years now. I know for her, sometimes it probably feels like 60, you know, but she's just so much better than I am. She's just wonderful. And she's getting ready for school this week. Her
yep.
kids start coming tomorrow. I think Brendan went yesterday.
He went yesterday, right? Half a day yesterday, yep.
So school starting back, and that kind of impacts what we're going to be talking about today, a Christian's influence in school. But if you're an adult listening, you can take these points that we're talking about and you can have a Christian influence at work or wherever you're at. But we definitely
share it with your teens if you have teens.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the other thing that we talked about, is how you could take this episode and share it with your young people. Obviously, you know, we have a first word segment. So mm-hmm. Jess is going to kick us off with the first word, and then we're going to go into being a Christian influence.
All right. So the first word today is never underestimate your ability to make someone else's life better, even if you never know it. And that quote is attributed to Greg Louganis. And I just felt like that was a pretty powerful statement to work into our topic today of talking about being an influence at school. And obviously, as Wes said, anywhere you are, to be a positive Christian influence. But especially, you know, this week, everybody's getting into the school thing again and starting back. And so we thought, you know, for today's episode, we'll just, you know, talk about something that maybe we could share with our teens We do a lot of episodes for youth ministers and try to be a resource for youth ministers, but we also want to be a resource for teens too. So this is maybe more for the teenagers, but like I said, if you've got teenagers or you know one, or you're a youth minister, you can share this with them. And look, I don't think anything we're going to say today is going to be, you know, something you've never heard before. It's probably going to be some things that you have heard, but it's good to be reminded
for sure
sometimes, and especially this time of year, to just have those reminders. But yeah, that quote, never underestimate your ability to make someone else's life better, even if you never know it, because that's what influence is all about.
Yeah,
it's all about making someone's life better. We can influence in a very negative way and make a life worse, but we want to make a positive Christian influence on other people. We want to make their life better. And sometimes we don't know the results. We might never know how we have made an impact on somebody. And so even if we never know about it, we want to make that influence. And so we're going to talk about how to be a Christian influence at school. And I'm going to let Wes take the first one. We've got about six things on the list. And so we're going to try to get through these as quickly as possible. But go ahead. Let's just kick off with the first one.
Yeah. So, you know, this is obviously not everything that you could do. This is just something that Jess is and I've just kind of established, just kind of get you started. Obviously, you could have some impact. And like we said, you know, we want to hear your opinions and what you know could work to have a good influence at school or at work or wherever you're at, wherever you're trying to impact people for God, something that works for you and has worked for you in the past and you continue to use. But the first one that we wanted to talk about is take a less of me, more of God approach to your social media. Obviously, Jess and I are not anti-social media. No. We use social media to put out our ideas and our thoughts. And obviously, with our podcast here, we just are not anti-social media. And I think you run into people who just believe that social media is the devil. and listen, it could very easily be a work of the devil, depending on how you use it and what you say and what you put out there. It could very easily be something that is a negative turn on whatever you're trying to say. So that's what we're trying to say is, you know, take a less of me, more of God approach to your social media. You know, when good things happen, glorify God. When you're struggling, you know, let people know that you're trusting in God to guide you through it. Don't make everything about me. We live in a world and a time where everything is just based on me. Mm-hmm. And it's based on how quickly can I make myself look good, or how quickly can I make myself not the bad guy in a situation. We talked about this a little bit in our Bible study, in our Bible class last night at Shiloh. We talked a little bit about how just about everybody in society now is wanting to point the finger, you know, because they want themselves to look good. So I think if we just take a less of me, more of God approach, not only to social media, but to everything in our life, and just let God be seen through our actions, through how we're living our life, and know that social media can be something that could very easily be used to glorify God. I think that's important, and I think it's crucial for Christians in a school environment, a work environment, wherever it might be, to let people see God living in you, like we said, and realize that it's not about me, that we're working towards something greater.
It was real interesting sometime around the middle of, maybe it was the 1st of June. I think it was more like the middle or end of June. Some of our girls and guys in the youth group, well, I guess it was sometime right after Maywood. I think that week really made an impact on them. And they said that they're going to sign off of social media until August. And you don't always have to do that. But I think for them, it allowed them to gain some perspective and to live in the real world, we like to say, for a month and a half or a month or so. And, you know, I've seen some changes in them based on that. I've seen some differences. A couple of them might have, you know, gotten back to social media a little soon, you know, before August. But they really did stay away from it for a little while. And but I've seen more spiritual posts from them since then, and I love to see that. And I'm not saying you have to sign off of social media for any length of time. You know, it's not necessarily all about that. But maybe that's what we need to do, is take a little break
right
from it, gain some perspective, think about really what we want to achieve through social media, whether it's Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook or Twitter, Tumblr, whatever it is that you venue that you like to use the most, think about, take some time and really think about what you're doing with it, what you've been using it for, and what you might use it for in the future. And, you know, I'll tell you, I dread sometimes when summertime comes around because of social media, because I know that the bare-chested pictures are going to come out from the guys, and the bikini pictures are coming out from the girls, and I don't like to flip through that and see all that. And so, you know, maybe we need to think about, you know, how we're using it. We definitely need to think about how we're using it.
Sure.
But make a conscious effort to use our social media, whether it's pictures or whether it's, you know, just quotes, whatever it is, to glorify God, as Wes said. I really didn't have too much more to add to what you said. You put that really well. Just be mindful of what we're doing. And, you know, maybe a few less selfies, less of me, you know, less pictures of me and my body and this, and glorifying God and posting more about Him. And whether that's getting a meme creator, whatever you want to call those, if you're Bryce Harper, a meme, you know, you see that, the meme creator, and create some of those with Bible quotes, and make an influence that way. Because that's the main way that we're communicating these days.
Yeah.
And so make an impact that way.
I think one thing to keep in mind, too, before you go on, is anything that you do that doesn't glorify God, however you're using it, it drives a wedge in between the relationship that you have with God, and it divides you a little bit further away from Him, and it takes away the importance of a relationship with God. Anytime you're using something and you're not glorifying God from it, it just wedges your relationship and just kind of splits you away. So use your social media and use it powerfully, and use it for God.
Exactly. I think that's a great point, and I think that's a good first step to being a positive Christian influence. Number two, look out for the outcasts. We, before summer started, and not that we purposefully tried to abandon this thought through the summer, but it's so busy. Our focus was kind of elsewhere. But before summer started, we really started hitting home and starting really trying to get across to our teens that we don't want to leave anybody behind. We don't want to leave anybody abandoned. We don't want anybody to feel alone when they visit. And so for number two, I would say look out for the outcasts.
Yeah.
You know, look out for those people who are not like you, those people that are sitting alone, those people who may not have the things that you have or look like you do. They're not part of a group per se, not part of a clique, if you want to call it a clique. And go to those people and look out for them and encourage those folks. Because I tell you, I've been in that position before. I've been the outcast, and it doesn't feel good. It's not like somebody goes to school and says, I want to sit by myself today.
Right.
Now, sometimes we want our space.
Sure.
And sometimes our personalities, different people's personalities might be such that, you know, they would rather not be in big crowds. But I tell you what, even if that's their personality, to have somebody come over and say, you know, can I sit with you, and to talk to them, they appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It might make them nervous. And it might make them ball up, and they might get real quiet, but they appreciate it. And so I'd say look out for the outcast in whatever area, whether it's band or football or, you know, at the lunch table, whatever it is, and go be a Christian to them. Go be Christ to them. Show them the love of God, because it is lonely. You know, people are lonely.
Yeah.
And I tell you, with all of the violence and the things that you see and you look at some of these, you know, mass shootings, not to get real gloomy because I want this to be positive, but a lot of times what they say about those people is that they're loners. They didn't have very many friends.
Right.
And they get angry because they feel like they are being left out. And I'm not justifying that at all.
Right.
Nothing about what I'm about to say justifies what they've done. But it does make you feel that way when you see other people being happy and you feel mistreated.
Yeah.
Now, you should never obviously go and do what some of those people have done, but But I can relate to the feelings of loneliness, and people are really feeling that. They're just looking for a little acceptance, looking for a friend, and looking for a little love. So don't be afraid to do that. It might take you out of your comfort zone, and it might be, you know, totally uncomfortable for you for a while.
Yeah.
But the more you do it, the more, just like anything, you get comfortable with it.
Yeah. You know, just because someone might be an outcast or socially awkward a little bit doesn't mean that God does not love that individual. We should be making efforts to go after. I mean, everybody is a child of God, and God loves everybody. And for us to just classify people by the way that we dress or the way that we act or the things that we say or the things that we don't say, because we all have that one friend who's the quiet friend. Mm-hmm. We all have that one friend who's just kind of reserved and just kind of pulls back, and you don't hear much out of them. But when you do hear something out of them, you better be listening, because it's going to be important. But that's kind of what we're saying, is make sure that if you see somebody who's struggling to fit in or find a place or looks like they might be having a hard time, you need to go to those people. You need to be involved in their life. You need to make sure that they're comfortable. You need to make sure that they feel like they have somebody that they can rely on, that they can trust in, that they can believe in, and that is going to step side by side with them. One of the greatest things about the friendship that I have with Jess is I know that regardless of the situation, I'm going to have somebody that I can talk to, somebody that I can lean on, and somebody that's going to hold me accountable too. You know, if I'm in the wrong, I know that Jess is going to say, "Hey, you might want to wise up. You might want to think differently about that." So, people need that. People are looking for the truth. People are looking for answers, and they're looking for friends, and they're looking for someone to include them. So, be sure that we're making the effort to do that. I know at 30, I still struggle with that sometimes when I see people who are not plugging themselves in or being involved, or people aren't involving them. Sometimes I struggle to make a conscious effort to say, okay, that's where I need to go. That's who I need to be with. I need to spend some time with them to make sure that they know that I care about them, and I want them to see that I love them and that they're doing well. So, be on the lookout for those who are outcast by society or groups. I think that's really, really good. Number three, you want to go against the flow. You know, there's going to be parties, there's going to be inappropriate talk, there's going to be inappropriate behavior. And as a Christian, when you're in an environment when that kind of stuff is going on, it's going to take some moxie, it's going to take some guts about you, but you got to walk away from that kind of stuff. You got to say, okay, look, this is not where I need to be. This is not what I need to be involved in. And I'm telling you, I can remember very vividly when I was in high school, there was a girl that I was related to. She was a cousin of mine, and there was a conversation going on, and the conversation was not very Christian-based, was not very Christ-based. It wasn't good for people to be involved with. And she made the biggest statement by me by just walking away. She didn't say a word. She didn't make a big deal. She didn't say, hey, look at me, look at what I'm doing. I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to do something different. She just walked away. And to see that and to watch that happen, it was pretty incredible. It was pretty moving for me. It was an eye-opening experience for me that she just walked away. I mean, now you're talking about a girl who was an athlete, who was scholarshiped through college. I mean, you know, very influential person. The conversation was happening, wasn't a good conversation, and she just bolted. I mean, she just got out.
Yeah.
She said, this is not where I need to be. She didn't say that. She just acted on it. She just walked away. So there's going to be things going on. There's going to be opportunities for you to get involved in things that are not Christ-like, and you got to go against those things, because that's the flow. That's where things go. That's who people want to be involved in. But as a Christian, you got to go against those things.
Yeah, and we want so much to be included. And we want so much to be popular and accepted, you know, almost to the point sometimes where, what are we giving up? You know, we're giving up a little bit of our soul every time, you know, and not every single time, because it depends on what the situation is. But some of these things, and I think you guys know the tone of what we're talking about and the nature of what we're talking about, those things that are inappropriate, those things that are very clearly, you know, sinful, and situations that we don't need to put ourselves in that would lead to drinking or drugs, or, you know, those things that are so common and that just get us hooked and lead us down a road to destruction.
Yeah.
And so we give a little bit of our soul away just because we want to go with the flow,
yeah,
and to do what everybody else is doing, because we feel like if we leave, or if we say, no, I'm not going to go to this party, no, I'm not going to try this, no, I'm not going to go this far with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, we feel like the world's just going to collapse. And look, it's not. It's not going to collapse on you.
That's right.
You're going to be better for it, and you're going to make an impact on other people in a way that people just are not doing these days. Everybody's just going with the flow.
Yeah.
And we are called to be different as Christians, and if we're going to make an influence, we got to stand firm on those things, and we've got to, just like the girl did, walk away.
Yep.
Or say, no, we don't have to be rude about it. You know, and we don't have to say, you can't be my friend anymore because of this. There's a time for that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it has to happen every time. You need to try to lead them to Christ. And so just what we're saying, go against the flow.
Yeah.
Don't always go with what everybody's doing when you know that it's wrong. Yeah. And you've heard that all your life.
Yeah.
But we need to be reminded, because look, school's here.
Yeah.
It's here, and you're going to be faced with those things every single day. And so go against the flow. Don't worry so much about what people are going to think if you don't do what they're doing, if you don't join in with, you know, the dirty jokes, or you don't join in with, you know, whatever it is. I can remember several years ago, and it's been a while, and so I think this has kind of moved out, but I remember there was some talk at one of the local schools about, you know, the girls had decided that a group of girls had decided they were all going to get pregnant 1 year. Yeah, seriously. And I remember it was some kind of pact they had made, and they were, some of them, being pretty successful.
Wow.
And, you know, I just thought, how sad is that, that you'd get so caught up in just doing what everybody's doing and it becoming so trendy. You know, we're so hyped up on things that are trending, that's the road that you would go down. And so, boy, those things can lead to real dangerous situations for you, and things that you just don't really need to have in your life as a high school student.
Yeah, and don't be confused when you hear people say, well, everybody's doing it, they can't all be wrong. That is a path to destruction. Everybody else is doing it, they can't all be wrong. Well, yeah, they actually can. So,
well, everybody can be wrong, and not everybody's doing it.
Right.
That's the lie that Satan puts out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody is not doing drugs.
For sure.
Everybody is not having sex outside of marriage. Right. Everybody is not getting drunk on the weekends.
Yeah.
Some people are.
Yeah.
But Satan will say that everybody's doing it.
And you know,
but they're not.
I saw an article. This just hit me. I read an article yesterday about this age group, this group of teenagers, like the 15 to 22 crowd right now. They are seeing that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
They're beginning to understand that, you know, premarital sex is not an option for me.
Right.
It's not something that I want to be a part of. You know, so the young people are beginning to get wiser, but there are still that, and I say wiser, I mean, you know, kids are smart. They know exactly what's going on.
Smarter than I was when I was
for
there.
For sure. That's exactly what I was about to say. When I was that age, you know, that I made those mistakes of, you know, thinking, well, everybody else is involved. I can at least, you know, and sometimes it was just pretending like you were involved.
Right.
You just wanted to put out that, yeah, I'm a bad boy image, you know, and you weren't even close to what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't even involved on any kind of level. You just wanted people to think you were.
Yep.
It was sending out that message. So going against that flow is just very important. So young people are certainly making strides in the right direction, and there's always going to be that struggle. There's always going to be that part of you, and just like there's that part of me, just like there's that part of Jess that says, okay, you know, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It really can't be that. Mm-hmm. If I say that, it's really not that big of a deal. But that leads to a greater path of destruction.
Yeah. Well, number four, and this is something that has happened, and I've been real excited about it, and I hope that it grows this year at school. But start a weekly devotional or a weekly prayer meeting with some of your friends, with some of your friends in the youth group. Start there and say, you know, meet before school for 10 minutes, or meet after school for 10 minutes before you leave, or, you know, at lunchtime, eat real quick, and then, you know, go somewhere where you can, if that's possible, and just have a short devotional, or, you know, have a moment of prayer. You could ask ask your friends through the day, you know, if they have anything that you can pray for, and spend some time in prayer for them. Let them know that. Just, you know, say, hey, some of the guys in my youth group, you know, we're going to be over here at the end of the day, and we're going to pray for you and what you just told me. That's something that I want to do and start this year at Brooks, at least, is you know, some kind of devotional, some kind of weekly devotional, weekly prayer meeting. But it doesn't take a youth minister to start that. You can do that. There's a lot of things that you're being told you can't do at school that have to do with God, but you can do that.
Sure.
And so I think that would be a good idea. I think that'd be a way that you could use your influence, at school, in a spiritual way to let them know, you know, we're going to stand firm on this, and we're going to spend some time either every day or once a week. We're going to spend some time with God before school, and we want him to be a part of what we're doing here. And I think that as people see that, you know, make an impact on them, it would be, you know, a great influence, for them in a good way.
Yeah. You know, kind of like what you're talking about. There are a couple of teachers at Rogers, and you know, Rogers is that's my old stomping ground, and it's the school that's closest to our building there at Shiloh. So it's, you know, it's just a great place. Most of our kids in our youth group go to school there. We have two that go to a different school. but, you know, that's where most of our kids are. And there's a teacher there that opens his door every Wednesday, and another teacher comes in and kind of helps guides, but there's a student-led devotional. And sometimes they bring in other guys. I've been fortunate and privileged to be a part of it, but I know they have Kyle Butt comes in from time to time and different youth ministers from the area. And they just open their door and they allow these young people to get together, sing together, pray together, hear a message from God's Word. And, you know, they just get to be around that environment, and it kind of pushes them and encourages them to be different, you know, to go against that flow. There are so many people walking down that hallway on Wednesday mornings that don't even consider going into that room, that don't even think about that being part of their day on Wednesday. But there are so many who do, who plug into that, who buy into that and know that that's an important part of who they should be and what they should be doing. And so they plug into that and they do that. And I think it would be great, you know, for something like that to start at all the local high schools and to be a part of that, because you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get together and you can pray with people and you can meet with people and you can just talk to people and encourage them and give them some sort of tie into scripture, whatever it is that they're struggling with. You can guide them in the right direction. You can push them on the right path, and you can help and encourage them to be stronger, and nobody can stop you from doing that.
Right.
I think that's something that you know, we get concerned with and we get caught up with is people tell us we can't, but why not? They don't want us to,
right.
So they tell us that we can't, but we can, and so we need to take advantage of every opportunity that we have.
Yep. At least right now, at least, that's my understanding. If it's student-led, you know, so you need to understand that. If it's student-led, you get it together, you can pretty much, you know, do what you want to at school.
Yeah.
As long as it's not coming from faculty, staff, administration, take the initiative and
go against the flow.
Yeah.
Do something different.
Be proactive.
Number five. Ooh, be proactive.
Yeah.
I like that. So many Christians.
That's a good word, right?
Proactive. We live in a reactive society.
Yeah.
Be proactive for Christ. Man, that's nice. Okay. Number five. Respect your teachers and others in authority at school. I got to tell you, when I see these videos of students and teachers fighting, I mean, like straight throwing fists at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now, granted, sometimes that's a teacher overstepping its boundaries and they don't know how to control their temper. But when, you know, and neither one is permissible. Neither one is there an excuse for it. But you need to respect those teachers. I know a lot of educators, as well as you do, and a lot of people listening and watching, they know a lot of educators, and you don't go into education to be a bully. You don't go into helping to train and teach young people because you don't like them. You know, you have an investment in them. Youth ministers, We don't go into youth ministry because we want to beat up on kids and we want to bully kids and we want to discourage young people. That's not why you do it. They're there to help and they're there to encourage. And, you know, sometimes they can come off a little abrasive. So can I. But everybody can. You know, we've got to understand that those people are in positions of authority. We have to respect authority. I think the scripture speaks on respecting authority. I know it does. But, you know, we have to understand that those people are there to help us and to guide us and to encourage us to go along the way. They don't want you to fail. They don't want you to not be successful. They don't want you to be in an environment where you feel unsafe. They want you to succeed. They want you to be happy, and they want you to feel comfortable about where you're at. So respect those people, and I promise you, when you show them respect, it will come back to you tenfold in the efforts that they're giving.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, when you – and look, I know teenagers don't like school, okay? I mean, I didn't like it when I was in school.
Yeah.
But I don't know where – where going to school with a bad attitude and being disrespectful to teachers really gets you.
Right.
Yeah. Like, where does that, I mean, when if you've ever had that attitude, where did it ever get you? I mean, did it get you better grades? Did it make them, you know, not,
did
I don't
you,
know.
Did you intimidate them into making an A? I don't,
yeah, I
don't
mean,
think so.
I don't really know where, you know, and there are times when, you know, maybe a teacher comes to school stressed out.
Sure.
And like Wes was saying, you know, they have a bad attitude sometimes, you know, but that's not generally the case. That
right.
can happen. We go through things in life and we don't know what, you know, teachers are not perfect and youth ministers aren't perfect. There's going to be days when just things get to you a little bit more than other days because other things might be going on in their lives.
Right.
Try to show a little grace in those times and maybe just back off.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and they need to be mindful of that too, and myself too, because there's days when I feel like that you know, it just seems like maybe it's because of stress, whatever it is. Be mindful of that and just understand, you know, if a teacher has, you know, been generally happy and y'all have gotten along for a long time and they come in a little bit upset about something and it seems like they're on edge, just maybe back off. Don't, you know, don't show disrespect, you know, even more in that moment. So, you know, it just always pays to be respectful of your authority and your elders in any situation in life, your boss, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you, like Wes said, you're going to get a lot further if you just respect them, be polite and, you know, offer to help. That's another thing we talk about, being proactive. You know, offer to help. Do something to make them feel special. Take the trash, offer to take the trash out when it needs to, and don't make them, you know, stress out about the things in the classroom that you could help with.
Right.
And I tell you what, that would make a huge impact. You know, Wes's wife is a teacher, and I'm sure that in the coming years, because she's just starting out really, this is going to be something that he'll have a lot more to talk about. I'm sure there'll be more stories, but be respectful of your teachers, the staff, the administration, the people in the offices, and you'll be on your way to having, you know, a great year. And there's no reason not to. That's the thing. There's no reason to disrespect your teachers, you know, unless you do have that one in, you know, one in, I don't know how many, I don't know the stats, but
it's very few.
One in 10,000 that is just a horrible, horrible person. Well, that's just very rare. You know, I would say that's just very rare.
So, and one thing to keep in mind is educators are machines. I mean, it's not just 8 to 3 and then boom, they go to the house.
Right.
You know, it's they get there at 7:30. They're there long after you leave. You know, you look at coaches and band directors and cheer sponsors and anybody, you know, anybody that's got any kind of extracurricular that they're tagged into, you know, they're staying till, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the nighttime. And I know, chapel, especially when she left this morning, she left around 7 this morning. She said, I'll try to be home around 5, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not just 8 to 3. I mean, they are there and it's for you. I mean, you know, it's in preparation to help you be better. It's in preparation to help you get the knowledge and to become who you need to be so that you can go out and you can be trained on the things that you want to do. You know, so they're working for you. So it's a very much a servant role. Anybody who's ever known an educator, you know that's just a passion in their heart. They don't do it for the money. They don't do it for the fame. They don't do it for the glorification. They don't do it for the paperwork. And there's a lot of that involved. You know, mm-hmm. they do it for you. And it's a very, very much a servant role that they're in. And when we're trying to be Christians and have a good influence, we need to be servants as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and finally, for this episode, number six, don't be afraid to be you. And I was at Mars Hills orientation / prayer service on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And one of the guys made this point when he got up, is he was talking about students being themselves.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good point that he made. I was thinking it was at the prayer service. It was actually last night at the addiction awareness class that we had, or seminar that we had. And what he was saying when he said, you know, be you, and what he wasn't talking about, you know, if you want to go, you know, get high, go get high. That's not what he was talking about. But what he was talking about was he spent so much of his life trying to please people and do the things and be involved in the things that he felt like they wanted him to be involved with. And it led him down a road of ruin. And so what he was saying is, if you're interested in band, be in band. If you're interested in being in drama, be in drama and have fun with that and do that. If you're interested in playing football, play football and be you and do things that you're interested in and your personality. And I think that's important because, you know, in high school, there's so much pressure to, and I know we hit on a little bit of this when we talked about going along or going against the flow, but be you and do the things that you're interested in. And, you know, and you'll have a happier time in high school because you'll be doing things that you have fun with and that you enjoy, and not, I'm doing this because somebody else wanted me to do this with them and I don't really enjoy it and I struggle with it and whatnot. Now, on the other side of that, on a spiritual side of that, be you as a Christian and hold fast to your faith, stand firm in your faith, be the Christian you. And I hate to, that almost sounds like a separation that you and Christian is different, but be a Christian because that's you. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yeah,
be a Christian at school because that's you. Because when we do start to try to please other people too much, we try to be other people, we compromise who we are as a Christian. And sometimes that includes compromising our relationship with God, and we never want to do that. You don't want to compromise your relationship with God for trying to be like or trying to be somebody else. Because when we meet God, and we're all going to, mm-hmm. when we meet God in heaven, whether, you know, I don't know how that judgment day is going to go. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know we're going to be in front of Him. And I'm afraid that there's going to be a lot of people that stand before Him, and He says, why were you ashamed of me? And the only answer that we're going to be able to give is because I was afraid what other people would think.
Yeah.
And it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. So be the Christian you that you know you should be, because that's who you are.
Right. I think it's important to always realize that you are who you are because that's how God created you. And you never need to deviate from that. There's somebody out there who needs you for who you are. That's mm-hmm. why you're designed the way you are. That's why you're made how you are.
Personality.
Because somebody needs that in their life. And I think it's important that we stick to who we are. We be who we're built to be, you know, and don't be ashamed of who you are, because you're exactly who God needs you to be. Living the Christian life is not easy. I mean, it's very difficult. And we've made five points that talk to, and 6 points, you know, that talk to exactly, it can be a struggle, especially, mm-hmm. you know, trying to be an influence in an environment that promotes unity and trying to be that person who tries to bridge that gap between those who are lost and those who know right from wrong and want to do better. You know, it's hard. It's hard to be that influence, and we've got to work for that. But if you're trying to be somebody who you are not, if you're trying to deviate from being you, you're not doing yourself justice. You mm-hmm. are who you are because that's who God needed you to be. And you've got to look for the answers that He provides through Scripture and through opportunity that we have to spread that message, to get that message out to others. We've got to be taking advantage of that. So do not, just don't be afraid to be you, because we need you.
Yeah, yeah, we need you. And if you're that person that that we talked about earlier, that doesn't like crowds, that likes to sit alone, that's okay. We need those people too.
Yeah.
And we need the people that don't like to be up front. We need the people that like to work in the background.
Yep.
That's be you. Do those things. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it to glorify God.
Sure.
If you are that outspoken leader that can just rally, people behind them for a cause, then be that and do that to glorify God. So whatever it is and whatever personality you have that's God-given, be it.
Yeah.
And whatever interests you have at school, be that and glorify God there. When I was going through school, I was a real big band guy. I don't like the term band geek, really. I just don't. I don't. But I was into band. I was also into drama. And so I kind of toggled between, those two things. I wasn't really much into sports, but I liked those two things. And, I hope that along the road, somewhere down the road through those things, that I was able to be a good influence. I look back and probably think, there's some times that I missed the mark on that. And I wish I could go back. And I think, and that's another thing that it's hard to think about in the moment, but you might do that sometimes. Put yourself in your shoes 15, 20 years in the future, looking back and think, what am I going to think about myself?
Right.
When I think 20 years from now, what am I going to think about my 15-year-old self, my 17, 18-year-old self? Am I going to think, boy, I wasted some opportunities there?
Sure.
Or am I going to think, wow, I did everything I could. I was the best influence I could be, and I'm proud of who I was. And so that's just kind of food for thought there. But don't be afraid to be you, as Wes said.
I'm going to tell you a very humbling story that I had one time. I ran into one of my old middle school teachers, and she was, she acted as if she was very happy to see me, and I trust that she was. And she said, "What are you doing now?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually a youth minister at the Shiloh congregation, right behind the school there." And she was like, "Really?"
Shocked. Total shock.
I felt embarrassed. I was just overwhelmed with emotion, because the look and the expression on her face was, that's hard for me to believe, mm-hmm. because, I can sit here and I can tell you to respect your teachers and to do weekly devotionals and go against the flow and look for the outcast and mm-hmm. Take a less of me, more of God approach. But I can tell you that because I didn't really do that very well when I was a teenager. I just didn't. I knew the importance of doing the right thing, and I had a good, strong background, and I had people who were looking out for me. I mean, the church I went to growing up was the Atlas congregation. And so, I mean, Steve Shelton was the preacher and Matt Heupel was the youth minister. I had good people around me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I made the wrong decisions. I made the wrong choices. And I knew that in the moment, those were the wrong choices to make. It just felt good. It felt like it felt like the right thing to do. So what we're trying to tell you today is, every opportunity that you have to be a Christian influence to somebody, take advantage of that and be something different and be something more to those people around you, because they need it. You can plug into society for about 10 minutes and realize that it's a very negative place. And we just need good people with good Christian backgrounds, good Christian morals, who are trying to push through to the finish, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to, there's something greater waiting at the end of this thing for us than we could ever possibly imagine. And if we don't take advantage of being good Christian influences when we have the opportunity, I don't think we'll have any shot at reaping that reward if we're not living the life that we are supposed to be living.
And we're not doing, and that was very well worded, by the way, and we're not doing the people we come in contact every day with any justice either.
Sure.
We're not helping ourselves, and we're not helping them either. And hopefully our goal should be to make as much of an impact for Christ as we can, wherever we are, however old we are.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to help you with. We're trying to give you some helpers here, some keys to making that positive influence. Like Wes said at the beginning, there are other things, obviously, that that we could talk about, but we've gone now 54 minutes and 25, 26, 27 seconds. So that's where we're going to end this. But speaking of endings, we always do a final rush.
Yeah.
And so, Wes, I'm going to let you take this very important one today.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we take the final rush opportunity for me to, you know, let Jess know exactly where the Cubs and the Braves are standing, or, you know, what we're kind of getting into for the upcoming week, whether, you know, it be trips or youth events or church events that are going on or whatever. But our final rush today is kind of personal for both of us. A good friend of ours, AJ Gooch, his grandfather fell during their VBS and has some bleeding on the brain, and their family certainly covets your prayers at this time. He's battling, he's fighting, and you know, we want AJ to know that we're standing there with him, we're praying for him, and we love AJ and Hannah, and they're good family. AJ is AJ's dedicated. You know, we talk about machines, and we talk about guys who work and who, you know, aren't afraid to do anything or go anywhere. AJ's one of those guys, you know. So obviously he's hurting right now, and you know, wants his granddad to get better, and we do too. So you know, we know that you guys are listening and that are watching, we know that you're prayer warriors, and we want you to know that this is a family who really covets some prayers right now. Mm-hmm. So be in prayer for AJ's family, his granddad, and Jess, I know it ties to you guys personally.
Yeah, his name is Gene Gooch, and he's actually the uncle and great uncle of a couple of our members at Killen.
Yeah.
And so we've been lifting that family, Gene and the family, up in prayer. And
sure.
A little bit of good news. I saw AJ posted today on Facebook that Gene actually had a blood transfusion, and that has helped a little bit. And so I know, though, that that's just something that was shocking. He passed out on the stage, fell off and hit his head, fell off the stage and hit his head. So he's had a rough go of it. But as Wes said, please be in prayer for the Gooch family, for Gene in particular, and just pray for healing for him. And so we felt very strongly that, you know, with the reach that we have, small or large, we don't really know, but with the reach that we have, we figured that we could get some prayer warriors out there to be lifting that family up in prayer.
That's right. We love you, AJ, and we're praying for you. And
absolutely.
Certainly know that you guys listening will do the same. Jess?
Yep.
Tell the people where they can find us.
Well, we covet your feedback again, the suggestions and everything, ideas for episodes. So here's where you can find us. You can email us at ministryzoo@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook. Search for Ministry Zoo or go to facebook.com/ministryzoo. We're on Twitter. The handle is @ministryzoo. Shocker there, huh?
Yeah, generic.
We're on Google Play and iTunes, the podcast app, all those places where you find things like this, you can probably find us. And so,
and now Facebook Live.
And now Facebook Live. I forgot about that.
And hopefully Periscope.
Hopefully Periscope.
We'll see how that goes.
Next time we're going to try to work out these live venues. So this was our first. And so to the people on Facebook, thank you for watching. And thank you to you loyal listeners who are listening to us on the podcast app or however you're listening. And we appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And we will see you next week, hopefully.
See you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
See
you.